Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's roll with this. Let's start the 7 o'clock hour with this. Unless you guys want to call in and talk about something else, which you are free to do. This hour is wide open. I did shoot an email to Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana. He is really not just one of Montana's leading experts on the Middle East, but and Iran and all this stuff. He grew up in Iran. He fled Iran before the terrorist regime took over. And just an incredible guy, one of the most popular professors consistently on the University of Montana campus. But I want to get his take on everything that's going on this week with Israel and Iran. But I told him, hey, if he wants to join us today in the 7 o'clock hour, I just sent the email earlier this morning. So he'll probably be with us maybe tomorrow or later in the week. But I did offer it up for him to join us this hour of the show. And I shot John Jackson a note. I said, hey, our 9 o'clock hour today is a little busy. So if you want to come join us for a little more time in the 7 o'clock hour, feel free to pop in early. But you guys can jump in on the conversation at any point by calling 406-294-0970. Here you go. Senator Tim Sheehy was on Fox News with Kayleigh McEnany talking Israel and Iran, I think midday yesterday.
President Trump said Iran wants to make a deal. That came on the back of some Wall Street Journal reporting, but he noted the 60-day deadline has passed. Listen to this.
What have you heard from the Iranians?
They'd like to talk, but they should have done that before. I had 60 days, and they had 60 days, and on the 61st day, I said, we don't have a deal. They have to make a deal. It's painful for both parties, but I'd say Iran is not winning this war, and they should talk, and they should talk immediately before it's too late.
With us now, Montana Senator Tim Sheehy. Senator Sheehy also sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and Senator Sheehy also a retired U.S. Navy SEAL. Senator Sheehy, as we look at all this and piece it together, President Trump said the 60-day deadline has passed. This is as Tehran is begging to come back to the negotiating table. Netanyahu, for his part, said they want to continue to have, quote, fake talks in which they lie, they cheat, they string the U.S. along. It seems the message coming through from the president may be that the time for talks are over. Now's the time for action. Your thoughts?
We've been talking to Iran for 45 years, Kayleigh, and the reality is they've been killing Americans and killing Israelis for decades. Their national foreign policy is death to America, death to Israel. So every time we try to be reasonable with them, I mean, look, we had the Biden and the Obama administrations that spent 12 years giving them everything they wanted, loosening up sanctions, allowing billions of dollars to flow into their economy through oil sales, and trying to treat them with kid gloves and hoping by being nice they would change their behavior. What we've seen, obviously, is they're trying to wipe Israel off the face of the earth yet again. That hasn't worked. President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu's behavior has worked. Now, guess what? After we've bombed the hell out of them, now Iran wants to come to the table and make a deal. That's how you deal with a murderous, duplicitous regime, and it's working. So let's keep it up.
All right. We'll hold it right there with Senator Tim Sheehy. More to follow. She asked a couple of good follow-up questions as well. We'll get to here later in the hour. First up, though, after the break, we've got Fred in the Flathead on the phone lines. We'll kick it off with Fred in the Flathead talking about illegal aliens and much more. So looking forward to that. You can not only can you call in, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures ranging from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies expected with low temperatures in the mid-50s. Then we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies Wednesday as high temperatures rebound to the lower to middle 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was an absolute barrage of stories in the press day after day saying an Israeli attack on Iranian nuclear facilities could be imminent, could be any moment now, even though President Trump privately, it was reported, and this wasn't clearly based on U.S. military and intelligence sources, was against it, wanted to keep negotiating with the Iranians. So once Israel launched that very successful strike. Well, then the president came out and said, this was great, terrific, congratulating Israel. The question is, was this deliberate deception, as some pundits are suggesting? Was the president trying to make the Iranians feel like this was not really about to happen? In other words, did he, in order to catch the Iranians off guard, try to suggest that this was not an imminent attack? All of those questions will have to be answered sometime soon with your Media Minute. Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So really quickly here, talking about this Israel-Iran news, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen some of these videos that of Tehran, President Trump urging the people, women and children especially, to leave the city of Tehran. As Israel has been taking out the top terrorist leaders in Tehran, also wiping out their nuclear infrastructure as much as they can. But I did see this from Fox News Radio. Of course, we are your Fox News Radio affiliates here on your radio stations. As Israel and Iran trade missile fire, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth says that the U.S. is ramping up its defenses, ordering new deployments. But and so you've got the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group en route to the region from the South China Sea. I got a chance to tour the USS Nimitz. Man, just incredible to see something like that. But anyway, he says this: we are postured defensively in the region to be strong in pursuit of a peace deal, and we certainly hope that's what happens here. Hegseth said on Fox last night. Okay, we'll talk more about that story here, of course, this hour. But first, let's get into the phone lines. Fred in the Flathead, back in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was talking about illegal aliens and work site enforcement and much more. Fred, what's your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. I think it's a big mistake, and maybe they're not doing it. It sounds like they're trying to do some course correction, but a big mistake for Trump to establish a premise that semi-legal immigration is okay just because it's inconvenient to comply. There's kind of a romantic idea, you know, there's a family farm out there with a couple of long-time workers. I mean, that might be the case, but it's very minimal. This is big farm labor contractors, not little family farms. Some of those contractors are cheating because it's inconvenient to comply with the law, and they're undercutting their competitors. These are jobs that are not available to Americans. You're not going to walk into one of these farm labor contractors and apply as a guy getting out of high school or something. They're not available to you. That's just how it works. You know, it may be some sort of glide slope because just kind of like an addict trying to go cold turkey, getting off opiates isn't going to work. You need a glide slope, and you know, similar here. So these enforcement actions are having a big impact. People are laying low, and it's having an impact. But I do think it's a big mistake to establish a premise. As far as inconvenience, there's a lot of laws that are inconvenient. You take your average tradesman trying to comply with the diesel emissions on their pickup truck, and the $5,000 to $10,000 bills that are routine for stuff that's not necessary because of onerous regulations on emissions. So, yeah. Anyway. I guess we can see how it plays out, but
I think that's why Tom Holman wanted to stress that no, we are continuing work site enforcement. In fact, in the Flathead, Big Fork, they just we had a big story where there was a work site job site bust there of several illegal aliens. Yeah, when it comes to farm workers, I think what the Trump administration, they're prioritizing the hardcore criminals right now. But some of these worksite operations also, they're also exposing sex trafficking rings and things like that. So that's where you're seeing, some of the aggressive worksite enforcement. But But long term down the road, I think the point that they're trying to address here is that when it comes to farm workers, the Joe Biden regime deliberately made it harder to bring farm workers into the country legally, and then they made it easier to bring them in illegally. They basically created an incentive program for people to use illegal labor instead of legal labor. I mean, like here in Montana, they'll hire farm workers, shepherds to guard the sheep from South America that come up, and some of them even live in these old covered white wagons, really cool, out there on the range with the sheep, and they come in legally. And they do this legally, but the Biden regime wanted to undermine the legal immigration and just dump everybody in here illegally, which is exactly what they did. But I think what the Trump administration is going to try to do is figure out a way to make it easier for people to follow the law to bring in farm workers and hotel workers and things like that. But at the same time, they've got to do every. I mean, priority number one is frankly just getting the illegal aliens out of here first.
True. I guess the main thing is we just have to be careful not to, you know, as Trump supporters, and he's been great, as Trump supporters, we just have to make sure we don't just automatically pivot to a softer position because Trump now says that's the way to go.
And I think they did hear from us, which is why Tom Holman had to get out on national TV last night and said, okay, whoa, because yeah, Trump supporters are like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Right? Why are you guys going to stop? Because you had the best line, which is like, you can't now start to say, well, some illegal immigration's okay. So the Trump administration, let me see if I got the tweet in front of me here. Oh, here we go. CNN had this fake news. Less than 10% of immigrants taken into ICE custody since October had serious criminal convictions. Well, first off, they're all criminals. Now, that's why they had to add the word serious. I don't know. Sneaking into a country illegally, if you or I did that in any other country anywhere else in the world, that would be considered a serious crime. I mean, we'd sure be treated like serious criminals, wouldn't we? You know,
like... Yeah, but California, arson was considered a nonviolent crime. So,
oh my goodness, wow! But Homeland Security then responded and called that fake news and said that in President Trump's first 100 days, 75% of ICE arrests were criminal illegal aliens with convictions already or pending charges. So CNN couldn't even get, you know, even though they had to twist their story. They still couldn't even get their twisted story even close to being half right. Fred, thanks for the phone call. Hey, if you got more to share, I can come back to you after the break and after the Farm and Ranch report here. So stand by if you want to.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Bureau of Business Economic Research at the University of Montana was established in 1948, and for much of its history, it has compiled and reported forecasts for the major regions of the state. A fundamental building block for those forecasts has been the designation and measurement of activity in a small subset of the economy referred to as base industries. Base industries can loosely be defined as industries which sell and do business with the export sector, which refers to markets and customers outside the county. It's been a useful way to think about economic outlooks, except for one thing. This is a new force driving growth, especially in the regions adjacent to national parks, and that is population in migration. People are moving to places like the Flathead because they want to be there, not necessarily because economic growth is pulling them in. With remote work and investment nest eggs, they're bringing their jobs and incomes with them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. For many children, summertime is a transition from school to camp. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is encouraging summer camps to examine documentation for immunity from measles for anyone that will be on the grounds. The CDC says because the virus can spread quickly, all children, staff, and volunteers should be checked to see if they were vaccinated for or caught measles before. The CDC also says summer camps should stock up on face masks and create an isolation space for any campers who fall ill with the virus. The warning comes after a year of deadly measles outbreaks reaches near record levels. The CDC says there have been more than 1,100 cases so far this year, close to the record of 1,274 set in 2019. Data from the CDC showing about 2 in 3 confirmed measles cases this year have been in children or teens. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Agridyme, a Texas-based cattle marketing company, has been ordered to pay nearly $103 million in restitution after being found by the CFTC and the SEC to have operated a Ponzi scheme involving cattle contracts that falsely promised investors returns of 15 to 32%. The U.S. District Court for Northern Texas issued a permanent ban against Agridyme from commodity trading and entered default judgments against its co-founders, Joshua Link and Jed Wood, for personal gains totaling over $2.2 million. Although Agridyme claimed to have assets and cattle and meat inventory exceeding $140 million, audits found much less, just 9,900 head of cattle, many not owned by the company, and only $20 million in meat. Over 2,100 investors across 15 states were affected. The company had less than $1.5 million in cash when regulators intervened in late 2023. A potential $15.7 million sale of Agridyme's assets to a North Dakota group recently fell through, prompting the court-appointed receiver to move toward liquidating remaining assets. Also last week, the Senate Ag Committee released their agriculture provisions under the budget reconciliation package. Similar to the House bill, it does include conservation programs gaining $16 billion and specialty crops also being added in the funding coverage. The bill also cuts $211 billion from SNAP over a decade. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, great. Sounds like Fred in the Flathead was able to stick with us on the phone lines. I know Fred is out there on X as well, so he's probably seeing some of the same posts that I've been seeing. But well, first off, Fred, you got something else you want to talk about before I take us down another direction here?
No, I'll follow your lead. I just as a little early, real quick, Dave, just wanted to tell you thank you for the show. And when we... I know people don't like it when people move to Montana, but when we began to consider moving to Montana, I started listening to your show, just trying to develop the situation and basically scout the mission, if you will, and learn about Montana, because we wanted to know about it and we wanted to assimilate and learn and basically just know what's up. And your show was definitely a source of information for us, so I appreciate
it. Oh man, that's awesome. No, that's a huge honor. I was going to say, you don't have to thank me for the show, but that's actually really interesting insight. Yeah, because I've actually had fellow military veteran friends that are, you know, about to come off of active duty, like a guy back in Tampa who has a cool, had a cool position back there. He's like, oh yeah, I'd listen to your app. He's like, cause you know, when I retire from the military, I want to move to Montana, like so many military veterans wanted to do. So he said, hey, just like you said, he's like, I want to find out what people are all about, what people are talking about. And, because so many, they think of a place like Montana and they think of it as like, okay, those are people. Well, what was your impression of Montana? Why, when you fled the destroyed blue state that you fled, what was your impression of Montana that said, hey, I think that's going to be some like-minded individuals? It's not just the beauty of the Flathead Valley, it's also some like-minded folks too, right?
Right. And what is, you know, our son had already been here working, and so we'd had a connection. And the thing, and with, like a lot of people, the thing that tripped us was the way our area, and we lived in a small town, kind of in a rural road, but the way our community treated COVID was very harsh and very locked down. And when we come to Flathead, it seemed much more common sense. Now, it was under Governor Bullock, and later the state did kind of lock down, but just that alone, and then the people that we ran into, we just felt an affinity for a lot of the people. And then, you know, like everywhere, it's you've got fallen humans any place, and so, you encounter, you don't have a false idea of what its reality is, but we really like the people, and we like the people where we live too. So, but for us, a lot of it was just, we wanted to do something different in our final years of life and to live in a different place and establish a new life. And it hasn't been easy. It's been great, but, it certainly would have been more convenient in a way to stay where we were, but
yeah, financially and everything else.
I like the access to recreation. You know, California, it is incredible, the geography of the land, but the government locks everything down. They close you off. All the places I used to go and hike and fish with my dad, they've all, now they're areas of environmental concern, and they take out all the roads and the trails and the little spot you used to be able to sneak down to the river and fish. Oh, no, that's there's a endangered toad down there. You can't go there anymore.
See, and that's what Montanans don't get. That's what Montanans don't get. All these public lands and public hands people. I'm telling you, Montana, you've got to be careful. Before you give your money to these backcountry hunters and anglers and get the – I know the license plate looks cool, but look at how that money is being spent. The Democrat Party – constantly wants to shut down your access to so-called public lands. They will use every
and the
roads and the trails. We've seen that here because the liberal judges like Don Malloy, and it started with Clinton and his roadless initiative. They take out hunting access. They take out your motorized recreational vehicle access. And look to California. You think Democrats want to protect public lands? BS. They want to keep it government land, but they don't want it to be public land. There's a difference, right?
There's a very much a difference, and that is the point. They don't want humans interacting on the land in any way, and there's a lot of land. Get up in an airplane or a helicopter, and there's plenty of land where humans aren't pounding it, and so it is very interesting in that regard. And so I do see the trend, and I know the locals here, the people that have been here for a long time, know that the trajectory is going in the wrong way. And when I speak to people, I try to just say, hey, look, the whole country is on a little bit of a downgrade. It's not just because some Californians are coming here. If anything, hopefully most of them are going to try to shore up and fight with you and establish.
I was going to say, what we found is that a lot of these new refugees to Montana are helping us. There, we've now got fellow freedom fighters on our left and right, people like you, who's a firefighter and great things like that as well. So, when I think of, when I think of somebody moving here from another state and they listen to a show like this, or they're new here, they're new to town, and they listen to a show like this to get what Montanans are all about, what I hope is that somebody who might come here from a California that's conservative in every aspect of the definition, but what I hope people learn is, like, when they see the American Prairie Reserve, for example, And they don't know the history. They don't know the background. They haven't been to eastern Montana. They haven't been to Lewistown. They haven't been to southern Phillips County. And they hear this idea like the American Prairie Reserve, and they see all the fancy marketing packages. My concern is that they see that and they think, oh, well, that sounds like a good thing. And then they give money to very bad things that are kicking ranchers off the land. So what I hope is, with a show like this, we expose back to Fred in the Flathead here. Thanks for sticking with me. So, yeah, when it comes to outfits like APR, my concern is that newcomers that move to Montana, even if they're very conservative, smart people, they don't know maybe the history or the background. And so they might look at an organization like the APR and be like, oh, well, that sounds like a good organization. I'm going to give them money. And it's like, no, stop. Don't do that. Or like the backcountry hunters and anglers. Who do you think are the clowns that were trying to shut off motorized recreation on Flathead Lake? Your ability to drive a boat to get on Flathead Lake. It's these left-wing Democrat Party front groups. But a lot of people, if they don't know the background, if they don't listen to shows like this, they might not know and then just give their money to the very people that are working against them.
No, you're right about that. And to that point, the American Prairie Reserve, I had not heard of it until I started listening to your show, six, 7 years ago or so. So that you're doing a service. And And also, you're fair. You let people call in, and it's actually encouraged for, I like when Ken of Great Falls calls and others, it's a great resource for people, that the show provides. And like you said, you're not NPR getting a subsidy. You got
to
hustle.
So. Yeah, that's right. We actually have to sell advertising and actually got to pay bills around here. We can't just go to the government and take the money from you, the American people, who are working hard. Yeah, exactly. Well, Fred, great. Oh, the other thing I wanted to run by you, Fred, a couple minutes before our next break here. So to your point about, hey, it's important that the MAGA crowd speaks out to make sure that we stay firm on this illegal alien deportation push. Spot on. On a related note, I don't know if you've seen, David Noble has been going after some of the folks who call themselves MAGA, but yet are criticizing President Trump over over Iran and Israel. It's like President Trump has been very clear consistently on the campaign trail and as president, Iran should never get a nuclear weapon. But a lot of people that claim to be MAGA don't want to go with Mr. MAGA himself on this one.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a little conflicted over it, but I'm in this case, I'm pro-Israel. I'm 100% pro-Israel. I'm not, but there is a certain wing of, you could call it Christian nationalism, and if you kind of follow James Lindsay, he's been pointed out the woke right. Maybe there's something to that. There's a lot of bots, and I think there's
there you
also
go. That's the bots. I'm with you there. Yep.
There's a lot of guys. I think there's also a lot of maybe sappers, if that's the right word, in MAGA that are trying to destroy MAGA by stirring up discontent and basically Jew hating at some levels. And that doesn't mean everybody, but so I think there's a lot of MAGA bots that are just ready to try to blow up the real MAGA.
I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of it is Twitter bots on X. They're all. That's why it's always a lot of these fake accounts. You have no idea who these people are. But yeah, I think nobody wants to see the forever wars. Nobody wants to see America drawn into another war. But we cannot allow Iran to get a nuke. And thankfully, Israel's handling the job.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I think that's the broader point. First off, big thanks to Fred in the Flathead. I really enjoyed that conversation, especially getting kind of his insight on Montana and moving to Montana and fleeing other places. I remember hearing a story, one of my kids' friends, moved here from one of the destroyed blue states during COVID-19, and I asked him, "Oh, well, why'd you guys move to Montana?" And well, his mom was a nurse, and they were trying to force her to get the COVID shot, so they had to get the hell out of that state. Your life depends on it. I mean, look at the heart problems that some people got. So I thought that was interesting, but it's not easy because especially with the prices and everything right now that we're seeing here in the larger towns across Montana in particular. But that's why it's so important that we fight for rural Montana, too. You know, rural Montana, parts of it are not getting the population increases like we're seeing. In fact, some of them are seeing population decreases, of course. And so but that's why we got to fight for our rural communities and jobs in our rural communities in particular, because just like the Democrats have destroyed the timber industry in the West, when they take out your access to your so-called public lands, take out your trails, take out your access roads. So if you're a disabled hunter, like a woman I met in Libby, disabled veteran hunter, and when I did a show live from Libby one time, she came in and says that, you know, I've got disabilities. I've got, you know, some medical issues. I can't hike all the way in and then carry the deer or the elk all the way out. They just shut down the road that I need to go to the place I've always gone hunting at. But that's what the Democrats do. See, that's it ties in with that kind of rant we went on last week, which is where you just see a whole host of threats to access. Right? You know, it's like liberal city of Bozeman makes it hard to build in the liberal city of Bozeman. So what ends up happening? People then go out to the farmland and develop the farmland, or they go out to the wildlife habitat land and develop the wildlife habitat land. And so a lot of Montanans feel like they're just being surrounded. You know, you've got a wealthy out-of-stater who then comes in and buys this property, removes it out of ranch land production so he can have a nice place to hunt or fish, or if they're one of the liberal ones, none of the above, because they don't like killing animals. And then you've got the APR being financed by these far-left financiers like Hans-Jörg Wies, to kick the ranchers off the land and then to prevent a young up-and-coming rancher from getting into the industry or expanding their family ranch. And then on the government lands, you got the Democrats trying to lock you out of your so-called public lands. My uncle, Monty, who passed away, rancher in eastern Montana, first in the Glasgow area, and then down in Fallon, Montana, that was one of my favorite rants that he would go on. He said, "Stop calling it public land. It's not public land. It's government land. If it was public land, they wouldn't be able to lock you out of it." And it's a great point that he made, right? 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Hey, let's go to Charlie Loveridge first up on the phone lines here after the break. Charlie, I got a text message from you, and I'm glad you called into this show. You got some urgent news for our friends in the Billings area. You got a work vehicle stolen, huh? What happened?
How crazy is this? My guy's up at TJ Maxx working, gets out of the truck to go pick up some trash, and a transient steals the truck and takes off on him. So if anybody out there is driving around and they see a sweeper truck with the VIP services logo on it, please call the police. Don't try to grab him or anything, but call the police. Let them know where you saw him. We'd like to get our truck back so we can keep our people working and we can keep Billings clean. So if anybody sees it out there, VIP services, it's a white Chevy truck with it looks like a big vacuum cleaner on the back of it. If you happen to see it, guys, please call the police and let's get this guy in jail. We don't need this stuff in Billings, Montana, that's for sure.
So this was on the TJ Maxx parking lot, so near like Target, that whole area, kind of by the mall. So some transient, he hops out, pick up some trash, and some transient who probably left the trash in the first place stole the vehicle picking up the trash.
More than likely, yeah. So jeez. I just thought I'd put it out for the public. You know, this is that moment where we have to stand up as a community, and not just this incident, but every incident that happens in Billings, and have to keep standing up, saying no, not here. We're not doing that stuff here. So I really appreciate you letting me put it out on the news there. The other two stations have put it out as well.
Great.
That people listen to in the morning, and so hopefully we can round this guy up and get that sweeper truck back, and we can. Get back to work and keep our people working.
Is that your only sweeper truck on the road today? Just I don't want, you know, Billy Joe Bob driving the other one to get tackled, you know.
It's the only one that we have out right now.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so,
that'd be bad.
So if you see it, call it up. I think I've got the dispatch number memorized, 657-8200 is the dispatch non-emergency line. But, it'd be great to go catch a bad guy here. What a great way to start a Tuesday to go catch a bad guy. John Jackson's in the house. You know, Charlie Leverage, you put the bat signal up there. John Jackson's in the house. John, I say, why don't we see if Sheriff Linder will fire up the helicopter? Let's go catch this guy, huh? We'll put the headsets on. We'll be like, what am I thinking of? Didn't Magnum P.I. have his own helicopter or something? We need to go get this guy.
His buddy did. What happened? I missed it. What happened?
So, John just popped in here. So, he's spitting out his gum before Travis calls in from Forsyth and yells at him. But Charlie, you know, he's got VIP services. They, you know, pick up trash at the Metro and apparently all over town, snow plow jobs, et cetera. But one of his guys driving the sweeper truck, a white Chevy pickup with what looks like a vacuum on the back of it, was picking up trash, gets out of the pickup to pick up trash at the TJ Maxx parking lot in Billings, and some transient pops in, steals the trash truck.
That, you know, I'm always like, for my whole life, I've been like super paranoid about that. And particularly, you know, if you've ever had a kid, God forbid, you have a kid in the back seat, say in a baby seat or something. If I get out of that vehicle, I'm turning it off and taking the keys with me. I mean, you hear about that all the time. You hear about, you know, I've heard a bunch of cases of people like pulling in, say, 5 o'clock in the morning to the gas station, run in real quick, get a cup of coffee or something. Boom,
your car's gone. Kids in back. We've seen those headlines so many times. All right, Charlie, keep us posted, brother. Thanks for the call.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, you too. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, we've got Kat calling in from eastern Montana. Kat, great to hear from you. What's going on this morning?
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and thank you to our veterans. Well, we survived the anti-Trump protests. You know, we all made it out in one piece, but I attended one of those events on Saturday, and it was, you know, it was lame. It was nothing to write home to mom about. But with this whole anti-Trump protest, and we can call it, you know, what it is, this protest was scheduled because of the military parade for Flag Day. So you know, people really emanated violence towards Trump. They were beating Trump dolls, burning flags. And it, what it reminded me of was, like, the protesters and what they did to the Vietnam soldiers returning home from the war. So, you know, the left will always be trashing our most precious warriors. We can always bank on that. But even on the 250th birthday of the Army, it's disgusting. You know, leftists are a cult. They call us a cult. They're a cult. So, you know, they don't have God. They don't have substance to their messaging. So when I interviewed these weirdos, just real quick, most of the guys said they were there because their wife asked them to be there. But anyways, these liberals are like a bunch of menopausal wackos. Sit down, settle down, have a sandwich and a nap, you know. But I'm really thankful the protests didn't get out of hand in Montana. So thank God for that. I just want to tell everybody in Montana to have a good day and God bless America.
Hey, great to hear from you, Kat. Yeah, John, to her point is, what did she say? I didn't want to interrupt, but now I forgot what I was going to say. But to her point about just the, oh, I know what it was. She talked about how they were protesting on the Army's 250th birthday. I think they did that deliberately on the Army's 250th birthday because they didn't want to get out there and support the great United States military. These people have been trashing the military their entire 60s washout lives. So, of course, they would love nothing more than to protest Donald J. Trump and have an excuse to not get out there and have a moment of national unity, like even John Fetterman described it, to support our great United States Army.
You know, of all the things that I twist off about Aaron, this is one of those things that I just give a big, there's a big yawn. I don't care when, I mean, it does not bother me at all. Plus, did you see the pictures of these people that were at these protests? I mean, it shouldn't be no kings. It should be like no pudding. No, it's a no pudding protest because they all walked right down the street and got right back on the bus to go back to the nursing home. And these people are like 75, 80 years old.
You saw the video of the women in Bozeman banging the little pots.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody responded on X. They said, it looks like a low-impact Zumba class. It's like, go, ladies. Yay.
Seriously, did you see the ages? It's insane.
Well, I'm not going to comment on their age, but the content was pathetic.
This episode is brought to you by Nespresso and Samura Origins by The Weekend Coffee Collection.
Introducing Samura Origins. My collaboration with Nespresso is a connection to my roots, to my mother, Samura. Coffee that hits the right notes. It transports you. Crafted with unique notes and bold soaring flavors. Experience a taste that moves you. Nespresso and Samura Origins.
Discover more at Nespresso.com.
Fox News commentary.
The hog is out of the DNC. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
It's official. The manliest and youngest leader Democrats have to offer has been ousted from DNC leadership. It came to be technically due to gender imbalance accusations, which forced a revote for two vice chair positions, one of them being Hogg's. But really, it was about Hogg's outspoken desire to unseat older and, in his eyes, ineffective party elders and incumbents. He even leads a PAC, Leaders We Deserve, that raised a whopping $20 million to do just that. After all the controversy and public infighting, Hogg decided not to even seek re-election. Also, after audio of a Zoom call between DNC Chair Ken Martin and Hogg leaked and went viral, Martin could be heard essentially pouting that the Hogg snafu prevented him from true leadership. Whatever the case, it's obvious the Democrat Party, from top to bottom, is in dire disarray. Best of luck to all of you, but really not. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few scattered showers and storms possible, especially in the afternoon. High temperatures ranging from the mid-70s in Bozeman to around 80 in the Billings area. For tonight, clear skies expected with low temperatures in the mid-50s. Then we'll see partly to mostly sunny skies Wednesday as high temperatures rebound to the lower to middle 80s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, we got this great guy who's called into the show, Kevin Williams in Billings. He's called in from time to time, always has something good to say, but he's got his own podcast, and he's blind. And I love it. His tagline is, "Even a blind man can see what's going on." Hey, you got to go to MontanaTalks.com. In his latest episode, this Billings-based podcaster, Kevin Williams, on the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, just interviewed Wyoming Congress.
1942. Google Amber Earn online at listwithamber.com, listwithamber.com.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. John and I were laughing during the break. I had to share that story with him on X. I think I mentioned it in the 6 o'clock hour. A bunch of woke, white, liberal Europeans went down to Egypt to show their support for Gaza, and they ended up getting their butts kicked by the Egyptians because, you know, the woke white liberals, just like they're doing in the streets of L.A. and New York and elsewhere, they decided to block a road. They decided to block a checkpoint and do one of their little sit-ins, and these Egyptian dudes take off their sandals and start whacking them over their heads with their sandals. It's just classic. We'll talk about that and more coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But, yeah, John's with us here a few minutes early, so we'll hear more from him as well. Clint in Bozeman. First up on the phone lines. Clint, great to hear from you. What's going on?
Well, I want to tell you guys a true story about the Mexican workers. You want to hear it?
Go for it. Yeah. Well, do we? I don't know. I think we want to hear it. Yeah. This goes back to what, the 1940s you were telling our producer, Caden?
It goes back to the 1940s, and this is a true story I want to tell everybody. And it happens like this. Here in Bozeman, Montana, and the Gallatin Valley, we grew green peas and we grew dry peas, which were seed peas. And the green peas, most of them were growing south of Bozeman, where they're building all the new homes and everything, covering up that good land. And anyway, we had the Mexican people that came from Mexico on visas or whatever, help us with the peas, mining the peas in the pea viners. And we had a cannery here in Bozeman called Pixweet Peas. And the Mexican people eat at my table when I was a young man. They eat at my table, and they were very nice people. They were awful religious people, and they were awful good workers, and we paid them well, too. And what has happened today, they've twisted everything around to where the Mexican people and all the other people that's coming into this country, you know, they're not like they were then. And I don't know what has happened. I think it's all due to politics and money.
Well, I think what it is, yeah, Clint, that's a great story. Thanks so much for sharing that. I wonder if you got some old photos or something. That'd be cool to see. But I think what's clearly happened, I mean, it seems obvious to me anyway, John, I don't know what your take is, but the gentleman that he was describing came here legally and came here to work. The people that Joe Biden and John Tester allowed to invade this country over the last 4 years came here illegally, and many of them came here to commit a lot of vicious crimes. And so that's why legal immigration is good and illegal immigration is bad.
Just about every problem we talk about on your radio show for the last 4 years comes down to one thing, fear. Fear and the lack of fear, the lack of civilization. When you and I grew up, people, even if they had bad inclinations, most of them were still afraid to act on them. And if they did act on them, they acted on them back in the alleys very, very quietly, hoping to not get caught. Nowadays, all that fear, and you take that fear all the way from Joe Biden to the Congress, all the way down to the criminals on the street, they're not afraid anymore.
Because there's no accountability. Yep. There's no fear of repercussions. There's no fear of ever being held accountable. So they know they can come here and do whatever they want, basically. Yep. Yeah. By the way, he was talking about that history of peas in the Gallatin Valley. Yeah, they have the Sweet Pea Festival in Bozeman. I think it's coming up in August, but I had to laugh. One of our listeners in Bozeman was talking about the angry women banging their little pots and pans. This is what democracy looks like. Somebody said they could use a lot more cowbell, for one, in their musical performance. But somebody else said, I think it was Hank in Bozeman, said they look like an angry pea festival crowd or something like that. So
yeah. They've been doing that same shtick since the '60s. You know, banging on pots. Hey, hey, ho, ho, whatever it is has got to go.
Yeah.
Hey, hey.
Oh, yeah. They're a bunch of '60s washouts who just love getting out in the streets and banging their drums, especially if it's against America.
Come here, real quick. That's the cure right there. Dr. Jackson is here.
Doctor. All right. Well, and he's in the house for the next hour. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The Bureau of Business Economic Research at the University of Montana was established in 1948, and for much of its history, it has compiled and reported forecasts for the major regions of the state. A fundamental building block for those forecasts has been the designation and measurement of activity in a small subset of the economy referred to as base industries. Base industries can loosely be defined as industries which sell and do business with the export sector, which refers to markets and customers outside the county. It's been a useful way to think about economic outlooks, except for one thing. It misses a new force driving growth, especially in the regions adjacent to national parks, and that is population in migration. People are moving to places like the Flathead because they want to be there, not necessarily because economic growth is pulling them in. With remote work and investment nest eggs, they're bringing their jobs and incomes with them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.